Let us stand up and pray. Heavenly Father, with all our hearts we thank you that we not only want, but that we may be yours. You have chosen us to be your inheritance, purchased, ordained, and made. We are yours for time and for eternity. For thus it is written that we are sons who were foreordained to behold your glory. Dear Lord, bless us in this meeting. Be thou present. Lead us through your Spirit. May your blood and your word and your Spirit be at work on us, in us, and through us. Faithful Lord, we cannot express it because our hearts are saddened through some kind of things. Give us grace that we can swing ourselves up in your presence, exalting ourselves above the things that pull us down and that want to suppress us. Lord, looking up to you, our soul becomes still. In the trust towards you, we receive new strength. Great things you have done on us. Bless us also now. Give grace to speak. Give grace to hear. Glorify thy name. Confirm thy word. And be in our midst. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. On Sunday afternoon, I always think about that all would like to travel to their homes. And our intention is to have just a very short service and to thank the Lord together for the received word and the blessings that he has given to us. Also to thank for one another, to thank God that we may be here, that we may love one another, that he has led it in such a way that we in these days hear his word, experience his grace, and together with him may walk until the end. It was a wonderful guidance and leading of the Holy Spirit as we experienced it here in the past days. We will, if it is the will of the Lord, still have in this year some greater campaigns, especially in Africa. At the end of this month, after the Zurich meeting, it goes then to Africa, and we expect that the Lord will do great things, especially to Kenya, Malawi, and Zambia. There God already in the past years has opened doors, and as we see and hear, he continues to do it. And I believe it was one of the colored brothers who now came to Germany some weeks ago or 2-3 months ago, and he just shakes his head and he says, you have everywhere churches and their steeples are pointing to heaven and the people go down to hell. The people don't believe, he says. If you want to speak with all the Christians about Christ, you can't do it with one of them. He asks, what kind of Christians are you? He says, if somebody is a Christian in Africa, then he is a Christian with heart. Then he is it with all his heart. And here we must really be ashamed. We are calling ourselves a Christian nation without Christ. We have the name. Brother Schmidt said it silently. but I heard it. He said, a pagan Christianity. May God really help us, that his message, his word, may reach the attention of many. We are nobody, but God is great, and God is mighty, and he can take care for that his word is being heard. As already said, in other countries, this is totally different. Their personalities, all the people come together to hear the word of the Lord. And we have trouble to invite the simple people that they come to hear the word of the Lord. But then the thought came to me that the continents and countries can have their time, special visitations of God. We had them here. They were in England, Russia, China, everywhere. And now the Lord seems to have turned to the black continent. And the more of them being saved, the better it will be on earth and even nicer in heaven. But as we said, we would be very happy if God would stretch out his arm also here and would still save many. I will be very brief this afternoon, seeing that many still have to travel home. We have dealt with the subject of the return of the Lord, and we know that God will do everything according to his word. What we have to know and about which we need certainty would be whether we are part of it. The Lord will return. He will take his own home. The certainty to be part of it when he comes, to be ready. According to the scripture, those who were ready went in. That is the important thing. This we want to take to heart. Brother Schmidt suggested the song which we sang first, and therein we repeated the words, that my name would be written there. Only for this I supplicate. Who of you, you don't need to raise your hand, but this I mean now, very, very serious. Who of you experienced a conversion in which it was prayed through until the real certainty of faith, the certainty of having been saved, that the Spirit of God gives testimony to your spirit, the Lord has accepted me. I have become a child of God. I know that my name is written there. Beloved, this must be. This must be. Not only to hear the sermon or to come to know of what God has done, of all the great signs and wonders, of the word of prophecy, of the promises. This belongs to it. And if we would know everything and hear everything and would not have made this experience with God, then at the most we can watch how others are being taken up. And this may God prevent. May we belong to them who are also taken up, who have the testimony in them to be well-pleasing to God, as Enoch had it. And just now I was reading the scripture from Jude, where it is testified of Enoch, or of that what he said. It says here in Jude, in verse 14, and Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints,
inmitten seiner heiligen Zehntausende, um Gericht
to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches, which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Do you know that in no other country on earth, and this I don't say because I have a German passport or because I have the German citizenship, but this I say because I know it, even in all of the communistic, atheistic and socialist world, there are not such blasphemous statements as they are common here in our country. People forget every measure and cross every limit which can exist. And here we are told, I mean generally seen, the whole world is doomed for destruction. But there are some who are equipped with more arrogance and who can express it according to their opinion in a better way. But here we are told Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, "Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all." And keep in mind who these all are. To execute judgment because of their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed. And it says, and of all their hard speeches, which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. If you would know with what our Lord was loaded in our country, what people have said about him, what have written, who he was, even a famous man who showed him as a son of a Roman legionnaire, people have exceeded every measure, the impertinence, the arrogance, everything crossed every limit. When the Lord has taken his own home, and when his word returned to Israel, and also there the elect were called out to make the completion, then the Lord comes, and then he comes with all his saints to firstly hold a temporary judgment, not yet the final judgment. At the final judgment, all the people who ever lived will resurrect. This is then the second resurrection. But when he comes to hold judgment, to punish the ungodly, this is the day of the Lord. You can read it in the prophet Isaiah. This is a very striking scripture, and it even fits to this text in a unique way. Isaiah chapter 13 from verse 9. Here it says, Isaiah 13 from verse 9, "Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, cruel both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate, and he shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it." I read verse 11. "And I will punish the world for their evil, and the wicked for their iniquity, and I will cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease, and will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible." I will make a man more precious than fine gold, even a man than the golden wedge of Ophir. God will execute a tribunal over all who did not want to believe, who went on in their hardness of heart. I read still in the same chapter, Isaiah 13, from verse 6, Howl ye, for the day of the Lord is at hand. It shall come as a destruction from the Almighty. Therefore shall all hands be faint, and every man's heart shall melt, and they shall be afraid. Pangs and sorrows shall take hold of them. They shall be in pain as a woman that travaileth. They shall be amazed one at another. Their faces shall be as flames. Let us not be worried. The watch of God runs precisely. Nobody needed to adjust the time yet. Yes, the people calculated, but they had no insight into God's time plan. This He reserved for Himself, and this will remain like this until the end. But one thing we recognize, based upon the Word of God and of the present development, that we live in the last days, that the return of the Lord is near, and that Bible prophecy is being fulfilled before our eyes. But the Bible predicts even more. It predicts that people will mock. I read from 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3, and here verse 2 and 3. That ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. Also this word must be fulfilled. If one speaks today with the people about the return of the Lord, about the signs of the time, this is wiped off the table with one move of the hand. And then it starts. Oh, this was always like this. And this the prophets already said, and the apostles, and until today, nothing happened at all. And we stand there, are listening, watching, and have to be sorrowful in our hearts about that, that people don't understand that God has a time plan, and that all things run according to this divine time plan. And there the scripture says so nicely, when the time was fulfilled. The time must be there so that certain things that belong to God's plan of salvation can take place. When John began his preaching, that's how it is written in the first verse, Repent, the kingdom of God is at hand. The time has come near. It broke forth. It was there. And therefore the Holy Scripture says in Luke 16:16, all the prophets prophesied until John, and from that time on the kingdom of God is preached. Here it is written in verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also, and the works that are therein, shall be burnt up. We would say, dear God, don't let this happen. But the dear God does not need your and my help, your and my advice. He has made the plan, and that's how it will be. But the nice thing is that he will only destroy and burn up what is no good. After all, he will make a new heaven and a new earth in which there will be righteousness. If the people would get an overall view about the plan of God, then it would be much better. But when they are orientated one-sided, then they always mean, the dear God, the dear God. He should have planned this and that in another way. But they don't even know the rest of his plan at all. Invite them so that they are informed about the plan of God. And a person doesn't have to be clever. When he hears the plan of God, that is so wonderful, if he then still rebels against it, then he didn't understand what the Lord really plans. So, the coming of the Lord is near. Bible prophecies are being fulfilled. The calling out and preparation takes place. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. And let him that heareth say, come. There must be something worked in us. We must wake up from sleep. I mean from the spiritual sleep. From the bodily also during the sermon. But especially from the spiritual sleep, so that we understand what God does now. If the Lord would be in our midst, then he would say, many prophets and righteous men wished to hear what you hear and didn't get it to hear. He would call out into our midst, today this scripture is being fulfilled before your eyes. Everywhere, wherever we look, we see the fulfillment of the Word of God. More scriptures that speak of the coming of the Lord are the following. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 13. 1 Thessalonians 3, verse 13. Here it says, to the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. Then in chapter 4, this we quoted already today, although we didn't read it. Here it says in verse 14, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. This will take place at the return of the Lord. And there are people who shake their heads and say, how does God want to do this? Billions of people have lived on earth, and then there shall be a first and a second resurrection. Some were burned, some are in the sea, some here, some there. How shall this be? The same God who did everything according to the counsel of his will, in his divine wisdom, the same God has also taken care of that for every earthy body that is sown into the earth, no matter in which way, a resurrection body is available for him. Why is this so difficult? The people can believe that God created the majestic universe if they acknowledge him in his existence. The same God can do everything. He speaks one word and it takes place. He commands and it stands fast. As he said then, let the earth bring forth, and it brought forth. He said, let the waters be gathered, let the dry land come up. It happened. Whatever God says, it takes place. And he says that the dead will rise. And that's how it will also happen. As it is written, they will rise in incorruption. I read you, as I announced it probably last night, from Revelation 22, after it is already written from the new heaven and the new earth, in chapter 21, and in chapter 22, some things are reported in a wonderful way. Then it says in chapter 22, verse 7 and verse 20, as follows. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And in verse 20, he who testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. We see that the coming of the Lord is described in various connections and in many chapters and scriptures. For us, only one thing is important, that we have grace as a real master builder who can read properly the divine drawing to know where what belongs, so that the chimney reaches up and not down. The architect planned everything wonderfully. Here, in this Bible, the whole counsel of God was made known. But there is the need, I almost said, of a divine permission to enter the construction site. Not everybody is permitted to do what he likes. He must have received the permission to do it, to set forth the counsel of God in the same way as it was revealed to the prophets and to the apostles. And may nobody think here that we mean us here. We mean God, who put all things in an order, and who also in this time takes care of that everything, every scripture, is put into the context in which it belongs, and that finally in all of us a faith is established, as the scripture has said it in every point. In the Old Testament, the prophet Zechariah, or God spoke through him, and also in a wonderful way. In chapter 14, he let say, I read it to you, first part of verse 4, and then the last part of verse 5. And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem, on the east. And then, last part from verse 5. And the Lord my God shall come, and all the saints with thee. This is not the rapture. This is already the moment when he will come again to to start his reign, and not only announces, but truly comes. It is possible that between the announcement and realization is still a time span, and this one sees clearly in Revelation chapter 10 and Daniel chapter 12. I just want to read it to you, that you see that God can have a time span between the announcement and the realization of that what he promised. I read Revelation 10, a well-known text to all of us, therefore just from verse 4 to 6. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. Keep in mind now, verse 5. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven and swear by him that liveth for ever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there will be no more delay. Keep in mind the formulation, he lifted up his hand and swear by him who lives forever. There will be no more delay. But, verse 7, but in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he has declared to his servants the prophets. So, in the last days, it's seven periods, seven church ages, seven messages, seven seals, seven trumpets, seven vials of wrath. The number seven was used over and again in the last book of the Bible. Here, it's again mentioned. Please remember that he lifted up his hand and swear by him who lives forever. There will be no more delay. Read with me in Daniel chapter 12 from verse 6. And one said to the man clothed in linen which was upon the waters of the river, how long shall it be to the end of these wonders? And I heard the man clothed in linen which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and swear by him that liveth for ever, that it shall be for a time, times, and an half. And when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. In Revelation we have read that henceforth there shall be no more delay, but in the days of the seventh angel, in that time it will happen. In the time, many things will happen. Bible prophecies will be fulfilled in a manifold way. The prophet Daniel received the precise instruction. He who lifted up his hand to heaven and swear by him that liveth forever, said, It shall be for a time, times, and a half. So, from that moment, when Revelation 10 will be fulfilled, and the Lord, as the angel of the covenant, reveals himself to the people of Israel, it will be until the total end and to the new beginning, to the beginning of the millennial reign, it will be exactly 3.5 years. You say, Brother Frank, but this is a mighty statement. I didn't make it. I just repeated what the scripture says. I read you. Amen. Thank you. Finally, somebody who confirms the word of God. Here in Revelation chapter 11, verse 15, we read, "And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven, saying, The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign for ever and ever." Here, the millennial reign is announced or made known. As I said before, there can be a difference, a time span between the announcement and the realization. I wished that God gives me still time to put this classification of the plan of salvation of God once again briefly to paper before we come to the close. Some passages from the sermon of Brother Branham, in which he insistently admonishes the believers to lay their will into the will of God, to become a part of the word and of the working of God. Here he says, for instance, in this sermon, Christ is the mystery of God revealed. Oh, if God can get him prisoners like that, that's when he can express the preeminences. He's got to get the man or the person to the point that he knows nothing but Christ. You get what I mean? You know, there are people who know so many things, but not that, what they should know. They know so much, but they don't know Christ by an experience with God. And as Paul expresses it, I want to know him and the power of his resurrection. It continues here, to express himself completely, God in Christ, and then to have the preeminences in his church, which is his body, the bride. Till he could have the preeminence to express himself through them. That's right. We know what is meant by it. Again, referring to Colossians chapter 1, where it is being said of Christ, who in every way should have the preeminence. And then the question, does he have it? And here the recipe, the instruction, the manual, how the matter of God can function. In the earthy things, everybody must place himself into a thing. Here also, we need the manual. Here God must come to his right. We have to look into the Holy Scripture and first find out what God is up to and how the whole thing is designed and how it is put together. God has taken care for it. He has revealed Himself in Christ and reconciled us with Himself through the death on the cross and atoned for our sin. He has forgiven our sin. To thus create Himself the opportunity in the redeemed to take dwelling in them, to get in them the rulership, to through them continue His ministry and His will. As we have said it many times, the Church of the Living God is of course not a dead organization, but a living organism. And as Christ, the head, is alive, so all members on the body of Jesus must be quickened. May it happen today. And it can happen today. It must happen today. The day tomorrow will have its own worry. The today's worry should be that God creates new life in us. It continues here. To restore the kingdom to its rightly position that fell by sin by the first Adam. Do we see what's all about? To restore it back there where mankind was before the transgression, before the disobedience, before the fall. And now Brother Branham says here, to restore it back there when the Lord in the cool of the evening walked with His people, talking with them, having had fellowship with them. Thereto it shall come back, and thereto it will come back, for the Holy Scripture speaks of it. If we walk in the light, then we have fellowship with Him and fellowship with one another. It is a fellowship worked by the Holy Spirit among the redeemed, who not only sang about the grace of God and preached about it, but who experienced it. And such people God wants to make out of us. Here it continues. And now sin and death had separated them from His presence and His entire expression. Certainly, sin has separated us from God. But it is written, He, our Redeemer, was made sin for us, so that we in Him might become the righteousness of God. A strange word. Not only becoming part of God's righteousness, but that we would become the restored righteousness of God, placed back into the original condition, as there would have never been a disobedience, as there would have never been a transgression, as there would have never been a separation. God has taken away the middle wall of partition and made peace for those who are near and for those who are afar off, in Jesus Christ, our Lord. It continues here, God expressed Himself in Jesus Christ, who was everything, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Now the fullness of the Godhead dwells bodily in His Church. Did we hear this? God in Christ, the bodily manifestation of the fullness of God, walking on earth in a human body. Now the Lord has redeemed people who are of flesh and blood, this we all admit, but we are not only of flesh and blood. God has laid into our soul new eternal life. We received divine life, and we rightfully may call ourselves children of God. And now we are told that the same fullness of the Spirit of God that was revealed in Christ in a human shape, this same fullness of God shall now be manifested in the believers and through the believers. Let me just say it here today. I'm grateful for the teaching, for the revelation of the mysteries of God, and for the overall view which we by grace received about all of the counsel of God. But meaning and purpose must be more than just that. At the end of days, God wants to manifest Himself in all of His fullness, unhindered, in His omnipotence, according to the word of our Lord. John 14, verse 12. The works that I have done, ye shall do also, and greater works than these, for I go to the Father. It is the same word, the same Spirit, the same kingdom of God, the same message. Everything remained the same. The restoration, which we have gratefully acknowledged and of which we heard, merges into the actual demonstration of the power of the living God, so that the church of the Lord at the end is in the condition as she was at the beginning. Just a little bit here. What's His purpose now? To express Himself as Son, so that in Him the fullness of the Godhead could dwell bodily. And then He has the preeminence. All that God was, He poured into Christ. And all Christ was poured into the church, the believers. Not into a denomination. Certainly, people must believe God before He can reveal Himself to them. And I hope that the day comes, that an hour comes, a moment comes, where we no longer have to push, but where it ignites, where the mechanics is in order, and oil in the gearbox, and the ignition is right, so that the matter of God can take its course, and we, for His matter, can go into the final round. I believe that God intends to do it in this way, and that He will perform it. Can you all believe it? God has a great plan, and this plan He brings now unto completion. Our days are numbered, and according to our time, as we said already, the salvation will then go briefly to the Jews, so that there the 144,000 are called out, and then everything comes to its completion, and the millennial reign commences. Do we not all want to have part in that, what God will do? Most certainly. That's why we are gathering. And not only shall be given to us clarity by teachings about the plan of God, this belongs to it, but by personal experiences we shall not only be given clarity, but we shall become a part of it. We shall be part of the kingdom of God in this time, to the church of the Lord, which is the foundation and pillar of the truth. That's how it is written in 1 Timothy 3, verse 15. And because God has ordained us as His church for the foundation and pillar of the truth. You all know, a pillar supports something. And if we shall be a pillar and also foundation, then we are both. And then we are with a cornerstone totally poured into one foundation. No wind blew us together. But, as Peter says so wonderfully, being built upon as living stones, where Christ Himself is the chief cornerstone, a habitation of God in the Spirit. And this we want to be, teaching, revelation, but also participation. Now I ask myself, what can still be the reason that we do not yet stand upon our feet of faith, that we don't walk forward yet as we believe it and expect it? What may be the cause? May we examine ourselves. Perhaps the time is not yet here. Maybe we ourselves are in our way. God knows it all. But one thing is in our hearts, very firmly anchored. Jesus is never too late. This song I sang already 30 years ago. And even our life or our ways are crooked and confused, and we ask ourselves, how shall it end? Then my soul says, my Jesus has never been wrong. My Jesus is never too late, as the song goes. He will do the right thing at the right time. In closing, I would maybe express the thought, the last round can only be after the people of God has been called out from all peoples, tongues and nations. Now it is our task to let the call go forth so that the people come out from everything and are placed into the church of the living God. As certain as we as members are coming together, at first maybe a bit scattered, as the prophet Ezekiel saw it. By the way, I read it a couple of days ago in a sermon of Brother Branham. There he uses the word from the prophet Ezekiel, and he says, or he quotes the Holy Scripture, "Prophesy, son of man, and speak to the breath of life, so that he comes into these bones." And then it says, "As I prophesied thus, life came into them, and they stepped upon their feet, one great multitude." And that's how it will be. And then Brother Brim says, this cannot be somebody. This must be a God-sent prophet who speaks out these words. This we all believe. The words were spoken out. When the time and the hour comes, the Spirit of God will quicken them in us, and we suddenly recognize that what really happened with us. Great things God did already, and even greater things He will still do. He who started, He will also finish unto the glorious day of Jesus Christ our Lord. Do you all believe it? I believe it with all my heart. I would be a fool to sacrifice my life for the matter of God if I would not be convinced that He stands to that what He promised, and that He will fulfill it. My request is only that all who hear the word of God in these days, in truth, that they don't reason, but believe, not hesitate, but arise and follow the Lord, not remaining in unbelief, but believing as the scripture has said, for he who does not believe God makes him a liar. And this we don't want. We want to believe God. And if we do it, the day will come on which we will see the glory of God. For thus it is written, oh, that you could believe, you would see the glory of God. Let us believe, and we'll see the glory of God. Yes, we will. As it is written, we will see the Lord. We will see God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. May the Lord bless us all. Amen. May I ask that we stand up as we pray together. Let us come to the front.
Glaube nur, alles ist möglich, oh, glaube nur, glaube nur, glaube nur, alles ist möglich, oh, glaube nur.
Brother Schmidt, will you pray with us? Heavenly Father, in this moment we come together into your presence, O God. Lord, you have seen our longing, you have seen our hearts, the agony of our souls. O Lord, how can we express it, my God? To thank you for the grace, for the mercy, for the salvation, O Lord, that we received in you and through your blood. O Jesus, Lord in heaven, the words are missing to me, O God. You know I cannot speak, Lord, but yet I thank you that you have given us so much grace to all your people, on each individual, O God, to every sincere child that is born from Thee, O Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you addressed your word unto us, Lord. Thank you that you kept us sober, O God in heaven. Lord, in your word, in your grace, Lord, I ask you, continue to keep us, each one of us, accompany all, Lord Jesus Christ, those who are here, Lord, also all who could not be here, my God in heaven. You know that all who love your word, Lord, they would like to be here, rejoicing with you in your truth. We are looking for you, Lord, for your Spirit. Fill us, Lord Jesus Christ, that we hearken unto that what you say and what your word says, and that our ears are open, Lord, to hear. Bless each one, and let us praise you. Lord, once again we pray, all brothers, all sisters who are from this country and outside of this country, bless each one and strengthen each one. O God in heaven, let your light shine and let your word become great for the praise of your name. Amen.